The following message by guest speaker Nick Vujicic was recorded at Church of the Redeemer. We'll learn how to triumph over seemingly insurmountable obstacles because of God's love and the hope found only in Jesus.
Hello, Church of the Redeemer! Well, thank you. It is my honor, my privilege to be here. It is so fun to get to know Pastor Dale O'Shields and his wife, Terry. If you've been here in this church for quite some time, congratulations on your 37th year as a church. Very big deal. Very big deal. This church started with their family, just husband, wife, kids. And look at this. 46 years of marriage. I see some people in service. If you're in service, would you please stand up? Can we honor the people in service? I'm going to do this. Stand up. If you're in service, thank you for your service. Thank you. Thank you very much. We are praying for our country. We are praying for you. We had an incredible 9 a.m., 11 a.m., but my favorite is the 1 p.m. I'm finally warmed up. We've seen 450 people give their life to Jesus Christ in the last 24 hours right here. It's been fun. I heard it's packed. It's packed. So hello to all the overflow rooms as well. We love you. God bless you. I want to say it's a privilege. Excuse me. Here we go. And it's fun to be able to go around the world. That video, there's no exaggeration. They say I run so fast I leave my legs behind. 78 countries, 3,500 stages. It's been really cool meeting presidents. Here's a real quick photo of a prime minister, my favorite prime minister. Benjamin Netanyahu, right behind him. Here's another photo. I've always been praying for Benjamin Netanyahu for a decade plus. We pray for Israel. We need to pray for Israel. We had a 90-minute one-on-one meeting behind closed doors, and Israel needs America to actually step up and help. So please pray for America, pray for Israel, pray for him. Next photo is my second favorite prime minister, and always will be, in that order, Netanyahu and Viktor Orban of Hungary. This is my third meeting with him, and President Katalin, my second time with her. And the next time I go to Hungary, they've put me in a room with 18 presidents at once, current presidents of Europe. We all know that there's something crazy going on in the world, and we can't always put our finger on it. I can't even find my own finger at this point. And kind of feels upside down at times. And we do know the world is in a need of prayer. But when I pray for America, I don't pray for revival. I think we don't even know what revival looks like. I'm praying for repentance. I'm praying that the Christians actually do what we're supposed to be doing. I actually evangelizing in 78 countries, okay? 3,500 times. It was a preface to what I'm about to say. Evangelizing in 78 countries, 3,500 times, you kind of realize why people don't give their life to Jesus. You know what the most major one is? People question, if God is a God of love, then why do bad things happen? Do you know what the second reason is? They know a Christian, so they don't want to be one. And I really believe that our country really needs to repent. Our largest audience, get this, my palms are sweaty. Our largest audience was in 2017 in Ukraine with 800,000 people. 400,000 people that day gave their life to Jesus. And we're so blessed and we're praying for peace everywhere. But do you know where we want to break that record? Washington, D.C., 1 million people next year. Washington, D.C., Chicago, Texas. I live in Texas. I call it the United States of Texas. And I love being a Texan. I got my hat and I'm getting my belt buckle. But I really have been praying for Washington, D.C. I've been praying for this whole region. See my foot? We've all got ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. And I want you to know that I love your church. Your church has already kindly partnered with our ministry. And it's just been such a pleasure to get to know you and feel like we've been brothers it feels like I've known you for decades. Our mutual friend was the pastor of my wife. And so that's how we go back and how we've met. But can I just tell you, prayer is needed for our country. And can I just tell you, there is hope. There is hope for America. There is hope for our world. There is hope in the name of the Lord. And we will always find something that we disagree on. If you and I talk enough, you're going to find something you're going to disagree on with me. You're going to want to try handcuff me. Well, good luck, because I don't have hands. But I'll tell you that what we must understand is this is the time to unify in prayer, in fasting for our nation. Amen? We are so, so blessed to be here. And I love how multicultural this church is. God bless you all. And God bless your leadership. We're so excited. Real quick, a couple more photos I got to fly through. Real quick. This is the tent. It's called the Big Jesus Tent. Everyone say, Big Jesus Tent. Big Jesus Tent. You want to know why we called it Big Jesus Tent? It's big. It's 55,000 square foot under one roof, 6,000 people. Did you hear about the tragic shooting down in Allen, Texas, the mass shooting? That is going 2 miles from the shooting. We're putting that big tent up. I'm preaching 8 times over 2 weeks in Allen, Texas. I live in Allen, and we are trying to encourage the city that there is still hope in the name of the Lord. Amen. This is an inside photo of the tent as well. It's so exciting. I love it. I love it. I love it. Can't wait for October. So keep us in prayer. And I'd love to introduce to you my incredible, beautiful, amazing, my hero wife. Her name is Kanae. She is half Japanese, half Mexican. We call that Japsican. We've been married for 11 years. It was love at first sight. I looked at her. She looked at me. I couldn't feel my legs. And we've been married now for 11 years. And now we have these 4 biological children. Aren't they beautiful? Daddy is the shortest one in the house, all right? And we know that there's 500,000 children waiting for a home in America. Don't know if you heard of that. It's called fostering and adopting. And we'll be actually adopting a baby, God willing, in the next 18 months. We're starting paperwork to add to our children and our family. So keep us in prayer because our hands are already full. And I think we have a baby photo of me. I was born with no limbs. This is moi. And I was pretty cute. I was a surprise to everyone. My mom actually had 3 ultrasounds done. And they got so excited every time that they had the sonogram, they forgot to check that I had arms and legs. And on the gender reveal, it's like, here's the boy. And the doctors actually commented, his legs were not in the way. Did you get that? They had no idea that I was going to be born this way. So when I was born, they're like, whoa. And I went to school and everyone's like looking at me like, whoa. They're like, what happened? I say, cigarettes. These days, I just say weed. Come up with some other creative ways just to help some kids. But I'll tell you right now, shocks in life happen. And I'm not a person to say that one pain is worse than another. In fact, I tell teenagers all the time, I believe it's worse being in a broken home than having no arms and legs. You see, you can have arms and legs, but have a broken heart. You can have arms and legs, get saved, but still never even heal of the things of the past. And when you look at who we are so much more than a body. We put so much emphasis on the outside. It's so wrong. You know, when I look at you, I look you in the eyes. The eyes are the windows to your soul. You can tell if someone is authentic. You can tell if someone's kind of like just putting on a front. You can tell if someone's an acquaintance or a real friend. And that authenticity comes from the soul, it comes from the heart, it comes from the mind, it comes from who they are. And as a kid, and I seeing, you know, me seeing everyone with arms and legs, and my brother and my sister being born with limbs, and no one know why I was born this way, I was kind of like confused, like, what is this life all about? And it's like, how come life feels unfair sometimes? And it's not like I was like depressed my whole childhood. I learn how to roll around and then stand up and then walk around and then jump around. And I mean, the doctors thought that I'd never walk. They had no idea that I'd be golfing, scuba diving, skydiving. I mean, my knees were shaking. It was crazy, but I was skydiving. And, you know, I never thought that I'd become a speaker to talk about hope whatsoever. Because when I was 10, I had none. Hope was not for me. And it was interesting because when you look at other people and they look certain ways, well, they're okay because they got arms and legs, but you don't know what's really going on. And people were judging me by how I looked, and there were people that were not friends with me, and they wouldn't play with me, and they wouldn't invite me in because I had no limbs. But they missed out on a good friend. And I see some young people here. Can I just talk to the young people for a second? You're beautiful just the way that you are. God loves you. You don't need to look a certain way. You don't need to be smarter. Try your best and God will figure out the rest. But you have to try and we have to know. We must seek the truth. I didn't know what I could do with my little foot till I tried. After 2 cups of coffee, I can now type 53 words a minute. This little foot, though, I was playing soccer one day with my friend on the field. Can I just ask a quick question? I know it's weird, but I need to know because it's hard to read this room for some reason. Put your hand up if you've never seen me speak face-to-face. I'm having trouble reading this room. Okay, put your hand down. Okay, got it. Cool. You're just the 1 p.m. All right, here we go. So one day I'm on the on a soccer field. And when you put a full-size soccer field next to me, sorry, full-size soccer ball next to me, full-size soccer ball next to me, I'm like only like 30, whatever, 1 inches tall. You put a big ball next to me, like if that hits me bad, like it can really hurt me, right? Like I could break a leg. And so my friend, he's getting ready to kick at me, right? And he like he's got the ball here and he backs up like this. He says, "Are you ready?" And I'm like, "Yes." And he comes to go, boom, like this. And this ball's coming right for me. You know when something's coming right for you? And you're like, you know that it really doesn't matter what you're doing. You're done, right? So, okay, I'm like thinking, I'm going to actually jump up in the air and kick the ball while I'm in the air. So I did this silly thing. And I jumped up in the air and I went, what? Like this. And the ball bent my foot backwards on itself. And I heard a and I was like, ah. And my little foot went, oh. And I'm like, I need this, right? And so for 3 weeks, I'm in bed looking at the ceiling. And I'm like, wow, I have a choice. Everyone say, I have a choice. What hit me right there and then was, I have a choice in what I believe. And I can choose to believe that I want to be a person that has an attitude of gratitude to be thankful for what I have and thank God for what I have instead of being angry for what I don't have. And my parents, they were not wealthy. They actually fled. They fled communism in Yugoslavia. My grandfathers were both in jail for their faith. My mom was six when the military came and kicked them out of their house. My mom and her eight siblings and another family literally crossed the Austrian Alps like the Sound of Music and went into refugee camps for 2 years as a migrant family in Australia, went there in 1962 with nothing. My dad, same thing, but went out in another way, bribed the guard, gave the border patrol his keys to the house, the address, and says, just let my family go. And the house and everything I have is yours. And the border patrol said, no problem, get out of here. And so they fled to Australia. So when my mom and dad said, be thankful for what you have, be thankful for the food that you have, be thankful for the house that you have, it's because they sometimes did not have food themselves. It's because they had 2 years of their life, 3 years without a home. These are the parents that I was blessed with. And they said, Nick, don't worry. God's going to plan for you. You're beautiful. You're special. And I'm like, I don't want to be special. Like, I want arms and legs. And I was like, God, if I can just have arms and legs, then everything's going to be okay. But then I look at people with arms and legs, and some of you are like still sad. And no one woke up this morning and counted your 10 fingers and 10 toes and said, wow, I'm going to have a great day. I got arms and legs. No. Some of you have arthritis in them. You're like, wish I didn't have that leg. I'm like, I'll take it. But I'll tell you right now, it's funny how we all do that. You may not be able to ever comprehend what it means to, you know, have no arms and legs. I can't imagine ever being in service. The PTSD afterward, that is worse than having no limbs. There are people who'd give up their arms and legs to not have PTSD in their life. Do you understand me? And so when we're kids, we're like, oh, I want that toy. If I can just have that toy, then everything's going to be okay. You get that toy, and guess what? 2 weeks later, you want another toy. I want to be older and I want to be taller. Why? Because it's just going to be better. You know, when I'm 13 years old, then things are going to get better. You get 13 years old, you're, oh my gosh, my parents don't understand me. I put a do not disturb sign on my door and they still come into my room. I don't know what's going on right now. I need to be a senior in high school and then everything's going to be okay. And you get to become a senior in high school and you're like, oh my gosh, this is stressful. I need to now get into the right college. Oh, please, please, God, get me the right college. You get into college, and is everything okay then? No. Oh, God, get a job. Oh, my goodness, I didn't even know if my career is going to exist with ChatGPT. I don't even know what's going on. You hear me? Oh, if I can finally get a job, you get a job, and you're like, after 2 weeks, you're like, yes, I got a job. And you look at your boss after 2 weeks, and you're like, he has to be the nephew of the devil. And then all the single ladies, oh, it's going to get better when I get married. Honey, if you ain't happy single, you ain't going to be happy married. You need to talk to the married people. And there they're clapping. If you ain't happy with Jesus single, you don't know who Jesus is. I'll say it again. If you're not happy with Jesus single, you don't know who Jesus is. I'm not telling you not to get married. Marriage is awesome and hard and awesome. Having kids is the best and the hardest thing ever. But it's amazing how many times we think that if only this, then I'll be happy. I begged God for arms and legs. You want to know why? Because I was fighting the wrong battle. We were always conditioned to, well, we'll wait for a better day. We'll wait for a better day. We'll wait for a better day. And each and every one of us in the last 3 years, we've been affected somehow with what's been going on, psychologically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally, all that stuff, physically, financially.
However that affected you, last 3.5 years, whatever. I want you to know, though, that in your life, you see my foot, we all have ups and downs, ups and downs, ups and downs. And the problem with the American church, generally speaking, is that for the last, I don't know, 20 years, a lot more people who've been going to church have actually been told by many people, by the people on the pulpit, generally speaking, definitely not this church, I know his DNA, I know his teaching, and that's why we've come, because we love this church, my goodness. But I'll tell you, 20 years in America, oh, just come to God and he will bless you. Oh yes, I'm praying for God to give me a car. Go get a job, go get a second job, go get a third job, save up money and buy your car. You're living in a country that you can get 3 jobs and save up money. I'm so sorry to say it this way, but that to me is like a blessed beggar. You will be blessed. He will always give you what you need. But if that's where you want to remain, that's great. I don't want to do that. I'll get 3 jobs, save up money, and become a little bit more of, you know, God stewarding well to give away cars. Oh, just give to the church and he will bless you. No. You are so blessed with your soul being saved and heaven is waiting for you. If I receive another blessing, that blessing alone of being saved, I didn't deserve it. And we kind of formulate, well, God, if you give me this, if you give me that. No. What we must understand is this. Sometimes God gives you what you want. Amen? But sometimes he doesn't. But he will always give you what you need. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 9, Apostle Paul says, God, take this thorn from my side. And God doesn't say yes. He says, no. For my grace is sufficient for you. Don't you think I want to be complete and lacking nothing? Do you want to know how I actually lack nothing? Do you want to know how I get complete? Not because of blessings, but because James 1:2 says, when he doesn't give you what you want, persistence in faith through the trials and suffering of our tribulations, it's actually perfecting your endurance in God. If God gives you everything you want, when you want it, how you want it, do you understand what I'm saying? He allows you to wait on him. He allows you to wait by faith. And sometimes we get him wrong. And our church has become this consumerism thing. I'm going to church and I'm a Christian. And once a week I go to church and I go to be with everyone. And you, oh, that was a good sermon. Oh, that one wasn't so good. Oh, I don't like the person up there singing. Are you kidding me? Well, you know what? I just can't believe that the church closed. Really? Did you open up your Bible from Monday to Saturday? How many people did you preach the gospel to? Tell me. How many people did you preach the gospel to? How many times have you had people, well, come to my church? Well, no. Are you still not going to preach the gospel just because they don't want to come to church? It is time to get real in our relationship with Jesus Christ to understand that he will always give you what you need, not always what you want. And I don't know about you, but we are here assigned on assignment, not sipping a pina colada to be blessed and be consuming and just, you know, taking 1 week at a time. When was the last time you memorized the scripture? This is the amazing thing about real Christians and not. We are full of fake Christian churches in America because we should have taken 500,000 kids off the street by now. We have 200,000 churches in America, 300,000 churches in America. If each church took 2 children, foster kids and adopting, maybe someone who actually wants an abortion would already know that if I don't want my baby, I know the church is going to take care of it. We've lost it, guys. We've lost it. That's why America needs to repent. So I'm strong against anyone who
plays Christianity. But I want you to know, Jesus is real and he loves you. And even if you run a million miles away in the wrong direction, there is hope if you choose to stop and say, okay, God, I pray for arms and legs, but if you do not give me arms and legs, I know that the greatest miracle of all is knowing you, being saved, having joy more than arms and legs, a purpose and meaning on my life that actually affects people's eternity. They say you haven't found something to live for until you found something to die for. I have found this, and it is to preach a gospel, sometimes using words. Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Love your neighbor. Love your neighbor. You don't have to accept their evil. It doesn't mean that you have to accommodate their evil. It doesn't mean that you need to agree with their evil alignment that is not biblical aligned. You stay biblically aligned, but you love them anyway. If they ask you why you don't do what they do, you tell them why pornography is not okay. You tell them why an emotional affair is not okay. You tell them why it's not okay to get drunk on Fridays just because it's Fridays. You tell them why you go to church. You tell them how much you love your wife, how much your wife loves you. Can I give a little bit of marital advice real quick? Yes, hello? Okay, ready? You ask your spouse three questions, ready? Once a month, you ask them this. Babe, what am I not doing that you want me to start doing? What am I doing that you want me to stop doing? And what am I doing that you want me to keep on doing? Do you know what that actually is called? Communication. We need God in our marriages. We need divine intervention because you're both the problem. Trust me, the people on their fourth divorce still don't believe me. You know what the problem is with their fourth divorce? They're still in it. We are both the problem, but we need God. No one's perfect. So when you look at your heart, take a deep breath in and out. Who are you? What do you want? Do you know what I want for you? Ready? The voices in your head that tell you you're not good enough to stop. The voices in your head saying that your problem is bigger than you. That's when you come back with the truth and say, God is bigger than my problem. I want the voice of God in your head that echoes the truth to say, no, I have not been forgotten by God. Psalm 139 says he has more precious thoughts of me than all the grains of sand in the world. No, I'm not born a mistake. I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Oh, you'll never get out of this. No, Philippians 4:13 says, for I can endure and do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In Christ, I have Christ. I have his strength. I have his peace. That when the storm doesn't pass, he will hold me until the storm passes. And listen to me very carefully. Ready? When you don't get a miracle, be one. I'll never forget, man. I was preaching at 24 years old. I was at a Californian church and I saw a little boy with no arms and no legs being held up above the crowd, and he had no limbs, just like me, and he had a little foot. And I'm like, oh, I want to wrestle him later on. And so I brought him up on stage and he was looking up at me and I'm looking down at him and I kind of give him a high five. So I put my little foot in his foot and he smiled and everyone cried. And his mother came up weeping and she said, thank you. You're a miracle. Now I know God has a plan for my son. You got PTSD, but you still love God and you're holding on to God and God's holding on to you. You can encourage someone else with PTSD. We talk about veterans and PTSD up on the ministry. We want to help families who are widowed, widowers, the bullied, the suicidal. We've done videos for all these things. I've written out 106 different ways in how the human being can suffer. 106 different ways. And I want you to know that in your life today, I don't know what you're suffering through, but God does. And He loves you. And when this woman came up to me and said, "Now I know that God has a plan for my son," I went to his school. They were teasing him. And I went to that school in my wheelchair, and I didn't run over anyone deliberately. But no one teased anybody after that. Like, it was done. It was like, oh my gosh, yeah, we're all beautiful. We're all wonderfully made. Your history is His story. Every minute, every thought is recorded. For as long as you're breathing, your story ain't done yet. And what if you, who believe in Jesus, you know you're saved, what if God used you to help someone come to heaven? For real. Is that not why we are here? Is that then not all worth it for 90 years of suffering? Oh, just a few more weary days ahead and I'll fly away. You said you'd come and share my sorrow. You said you'd be there for all my tomorrows. I came so close to sending you away. But just as I prayed, you came to stay. Take me, I'm yours. For you said, come to the waters, stand by my side. I know you're thirsty, you won't be denied. I've seen every teardrop when in darkness you cried. And I want to remind you, it's for those tears I died. Do you know that God bottles up our tears? Often you wonder why tears come into your eyes. Things have not turned out the way that you've planned, but God is standing near. He sees your falling tears. Tears are a language God understands. Sophia, can you play some keys up here? I'll play piano, but I'm not warmed up yet. He's there with you. No, Nick, no, you don't understand how much I've done. He cannot forgive me of the things I've done. Yes, He can, and He does. How do you know that? Because He said so. Out of 3,500 speaking engagements that I've had in 78 countries, I'll never forget this one. I was in front of 650 human trafficked slaves in India. And we rescued two that night. I went into the brothels, and it's a 10-acre block in Mumbai, India. We went into some houses. We went into this one lady's house. She was on the floor. She was old. Like, she looked like she's going to die any moment. I mean, if you told me she was 110 years old, I would believe you. She was very frail. She's sitting, skin and bone, on a mattress on the floor. And hunched over like this, and she could just do this, and she's looking at me like this. I came there to preach the gospel through a translator. She was listening. This woman walks in. She says, "Who are you? What are you doing?" You know, I've seen demons. That's why I believe in God. I've seen the dark stuff. "Who are you? What do you want? Get out of here." No, I don't want anything. My name's Nick. What do you want? "I just want to talk about God. I'm sick and tired of you people from the West coming here talking about your God. Show me your God. Make her walk." What? This woman on the floor, look at her. She can't walk. See that restroom? We've been taking her to that restroom for the last 4 years. If your God is real, show me now.
I want to see her walk or get out.
So I said a quick prayer to God. I said, Dad, I just want to let you know, just in case you're not aware, I'm about to pray for someone. And this is not you putting me on the spot. You know I have faith. I've seen miracles. She's putting you on the spot. God, I'm just letting you know. I hope you rock up. We pray in Jesus' name, get up and walk. She couldn't. I got two of my friends to raise her up and she's shaking. She's, She can't even get straight vertical like this. Like her bones, her marrow, her everything is just in pain. I'm like, oh man, I'm putting this woman through pain. I don't even know if God's gonna heal. She couldn't even put her leg down, one leg. She couldn't do it. We sat her down in a chair and that woman who's challenging God crossed her arms like this and she's looking. I said, no, God. I'm gonna pray more. We pray. And she went like this. Whoa. We're like, what? She's like, in her language, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, what did she say? What did she say? Electricity, electricity, fire, electricity. She said, I want to walk. I'm like, no, we need to pray a lot more. Isn't that funny? The evangelist comes to pray for a paralyzed woman. The paralyzed woman says, I feel the fire and electricity, let me walk. And the evangelist says, no. Guess what? I'm an idiot. Just like you are sometimes, right? Our faith, right? It's okay, get up. Do you want help to get up? No. She got up out of that chair, straight, no tremor, no curve, straight, even. And then in a moment, she started jumping up and down, shouting, crying and weeping. Her sister, who challenged God, went to her wall of gods and said, thank you. I said, no. That was not one of your 330 million gods, the same 330 million gods that make me an outcast, the same 330 million gods that say that I should not be reproducing, that I'm an outcast and I'm a mistake. I am not here to talk to you about your God. That was not your God. This is a God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, whose son is Jesus Christ. Don't get that wrong. Do not get that wrong. We went back to the hotel. The person who took me there, he's an Indian fella. And he looked pale. I'm thinking like he's gonna faint. He looked at me and he said, Nick, that was amazing. I said, I know, huh? Because that was the 13th miracle I've seen. He said, no. I've seen miracles before, but you don't know what just happened. I said, yeah, she walked. I said, no. You don't know. What? He's crying. He said, that woman who walked in 1965, that whole 10-acre red light district, 1,000 working children a night, that 10 acres, six stories high, cages underground to break them in. That whole thing was started by her. He said, she's the one responsible for starting human trafficking in the 1960s in Mumbai. She is the madame of the madames. She founded it. That whole operation. She has the blood on her hands. And yet, God touched her.
He takes our sin and throws him as far as the east is from the west. He will take your sin. He is not here to condemn you, but to save you. He is here not to oppress you and limit you, but to bring you freedom and peace and liberty of the soul. There is one who died for you. His name is Jesus. There is one who shed his blood. It was Jesus. There was one who resurrected, and his name is Jesus. There is one who went to hell and took the keys of hell. His name is Jesus, and he loves you. He loves you despite your addiction, despite your stuff. He loves you, and he can't help but love you today. He takes you as you are. He takes you as you are. Then he comes into your broken life, and he takes the addiction. He takes the affliction. He gives you the peace. Are you quite done yet doing your life your way? Are you finally through? Are you done? You don't need your plan. You don't need your strength. You need God's plan. You need God's strength. You need divinity. You're not divine. You're not divine. You'll never be divine. Ever. He is the divine. And he wants to live in you now. So now, I ask you, what will you choose? Oh, I don't want to make my decision today. Indecision is your decision. If it's not a no, if it's not a yes, it's a no. Period. Couldn't care less. I have a plane to catch. My wife's expecting me, but I don't know if I'll die in the plane. Do you? Can you tell me I'm gonna get to Dallas? Can you promise me that? No, because you're not divine. In fact, you may not breathe your next breath. Who knows? Are you with me? That's why today is the day of salvation. The now. He's the God of the now. The now. People came and met the divine at the front in the last three services. And for the fourth one, I don't know how many. But do you know how much heaven cares about one? One. I want to see you in heaven, but I also want you to experience him and the divine on this side of heaven. Doesn't mean that things are smooth. Doesn't mean that you're not going to fail or fall. Doesn't mean that you're not going to be depressed. Get over that too. Get over the fact that you might be depressed. Go get some counseling. Come and talk to someone. You can't just be a Christian and then never expect to be not depressed ever again. That's magic. Fake. Are you ready for the intervention that is divine? It starts with an action on your part. To say, yes, God, come into my life. I don't want my plan. I want your plan. I don't know what's going on, but I need you. I'm done playing religion. This is not a rededication if you know that you're saved. This is not for you. But this is for the people who know that you know that you know that you know you don't know if you're going to heaven or not. Seal it today when you're 11, 12 years old. Seal it. Oh, I want to experience a little bit of life. Fool! Don't be tempted to wait. than if God forgave and touched someone who was responsible for 40,000 slaves. What can't God forgive that you've done? What? Sorry? What? Sin doesn't separate you from the love of God. Sin called the love of God to a cross. Will you receive and will you believe? And in a moment here and on the overflow screens, in a moment, I'm going to call you up front. Why call you up front? Yeah, God can hear your prayer from your chair. But if you can't stand up for a faith decision in a church building on a Sunday morning or afternoon, if you can't stand up for your faith in a church building, how are you going to stand up for your faith out there? That's why I call you forward. I've seen now 1.2 million people plus 455 come forward in person. It never gets old.
I would like to close today by giving you an opportunity to ask Jesus to be the Lord of your life. Would you pray with me right now? Right where you are, just simply bow your head with me, and I'm going to give you a prayer to pray, and you can simply speak this prayer out, whisper this prayer out, and from the sincerity of your heart, call upon God, and I promise you that He will hear and answer you. So let's pray together. Start by simply whispering the name Jesus. Let there come from your heart just the declaration of His name. Say, Jesus, I know that I am a sinner, that I have fallen short with You. I'm sorry for all of my sins. Jesus, I believe in You. I believe that You are God's Son. I believe that You are the Savior of the world. I believe that You died on the cross for my sins. And I believe that You rose from the grave, that You are alive today. Now pray these words. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Come into my life. Forgive me of my sins. Give me a new start in You. I commit my life to You. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, if you prayed that prayer with me, I want to encourage you with a promise from God's Word that says that when we call upon God's name, we call upon the Son of God, there is salvation that comes to our lives. He changes us from the inside out, and you become a new creation. All things pass away, all things become new. And that's exactly what has happened to you today. Your next step really is to make sure that you get into a good Bible-believing church. And you begin to study God's Word, get God's Word in you, and to make sure that you get a copy of the Bible if you don't have one and begin to read it. Spend some time every day in prayer. And I would encourage you also to check out the resources on our website that will help you to get going in your relationship with Jesus. You can find them at church-redeemer.org. Get those into your hands. Get started in your new life with Jesus Christ. Thanks again for joining us today. May God bless you, and we look forward to seeing you next time.